How's everybody doing? That was sad. All right, I'm just going to ask you to bear with me today. I didn't have a voice 2 days ago. I kind of had one yesterday, and I kind of have one today. So we'll see what happens, all right? We are starting a new series today for the next few weeks called The Essentials. And this is a series we do every now and again where we talk about the basics of the faith, some things that we need to talk about. And today we're going to talk about something that's actually confused me since I've been in professional ministry. I right out of college, started working in a church. I've basically been a professional minister. That means I got paid to do it for about 10 years. And there's always been one thing that's really confused me about watching people discover Jesus and give their lives to Him. You know, I've seen that happen for at least the last 10 years, and I've kind of talked with people about it, and when people begin their relationship with Jesus and they start taking next steps, they have a bunch of questions, and I love talking with those people and talking to them about what they need to do next and, you know, what life's going to look like now that they've begun their relationship with Jesus. And it's funny because you'll talk to somebody and you'll say, okay, now that you've begun your relationship with Jesus, there are some things in your life that should probably change. You know, some actions you were doing that weren't pleasing to God, you're going to need to change those. You're going to need to cut those out of your life. And people are like, yes, they're in. They're nodding along. And you're like, okay, that was the hardest one. I thought that was the one they were going to freak out about. And then you have to bring up the one that nobody likes to talk about. And you say, okay, if you're going to be a Christ follower and you really want to live the way God wants you to live and you want to take some steps He wants, He has a pretty clear plan for our finances. And what that means is we believe that God wants us to return a portion of our finances back to Him. We believe that's 10%. And you say that, and you kind of get ready because you think somebody's going to jump across the table at you. And you're like, 10%. And usually they go, okay, sure, yeah, I'm in, whatever I got to do. Because they're so excited about what God's done in their life, that they're like, sure. And so then you feel like, well, I'm going to roll here. And so then you say, okay, well, The other thing, you know, we believe, you're like, man, I'm doing so good. This is like the best I've ever done this. And so you say, you know, we believe God has created all of us with special, unique talents and gifts, and God wants us to use those. And I look at you and I can tell God has uniquely gifted you to do setup. And so what I'd encourage you to do is start showing up. There you go. You kind of got it. Yeah. I'd like you to start showing up at 7 a.m. to set up. And then you brace yourself. And they go, yes, I'm in, I'll do that. And you're like, this is the easiest person I've ever talked to about this. And this is how it goes. You have these conversations, and it seems to go well and well and well. And so then you think, okay, well, I've given them all the hard ones. Now I'm going to give them the easy one, all right? Now I'm going to give them the step we all need to take that's easy. And you say, oh, and on top of all that other kind of stuff, we need to set up a time because we'd like for you to get baptized. And people freak out about baptism. Serve, I'm in. Give my money, I'm in. Quit all the bad stuff I was doing, I'm in. Baptism, well, I have to think about that. Well, I'm not sure. You know, I just need to go home and pray about that. I'm sorry, I am making fun of you. I'm sorry. I was going to say I'm not making fun of you, but I am very much making fun of you because I don't understand it. I've never understood what's going on with baptism. I swear I think you guys think that when we take you under the water, we're going to punch you. Eric does that, by the way. So don't let Eric baptize you because he's a puncher. But seriously, 10 years in professional ministry, without a doubt, that's the step that people freak out about. That's the one that people have to stop, and they have to get back, and they have to think about it, and they have to pray about it, which I don't get. I don't know many of you that go to the grocery store, shop, fill up your grocery cart, and then have to think about checking out. It's just the next step. But something's happened with baptism. So, because I love you and because I want to understand you, I've spent some time thinking about this. I've asked other people about it. I've really tried to figure out what is it about baptism. What is it that for so many people is just this hurdle, this stumbling block, this thing that we have to go home and think about whether we should do? And what I really kind of think I came to the conclusion of is that we just don't understand what it is. Maybe we come from a tradition that said it was something that it's not. I know a lot of people are like me, and you were baptized as a baby. And so the thought of being rebaptized really freaks you out. You're like, what, did the first one not work? I mean, you know, was he not a professional? You know, there's a lot of those things. So here's what I'm going to try to do today. I'm going to try to explain to you how this thing that, quite frankly, does look like it could be an indoctrination into a cult. I get it, right? You don't understand it. You walk in and you see somebody dunking somebody under the water. Well, you don't know that they're going to bring them back up. You could just as easily be seeing an attempted murder as a baptism, even if you just walk in. I get it. I get that it looks a little odd. So, what I'm going to try to do today, what I'm really going to try to do is just go straight to God's Word and explain to you the best I can what it is and why we think it's so important. And as we do it, I want you to know, I joked at the beginning, but I do want you to know, I do understand that this is an emotional subject for some people, okay? I get that. I understand that. Especially those of you like me, I keep stressing that, like me, I was raised Methodist, all right? Well, for the first 10 years of my life. And so I was baptized as an infant. I was, okay? So I get it that this is an emotional issue for you. So what we're going to try to do today is really dig in, and I hope to answer the question, what's the big deal with baptism, okay? What's the big deal with baptism? And for the note takers in the room, you are going to love me today because I actually have points, right? I very rarely have points. I do today, and get this, they all start with the same letter. I know. You guys are like, I went to sleep and woke up in a Baptist church. What happened? Hey, it's in my blood. All right, here's how we're going to start today, okay? It's real simple. The reason we believe so much in baptism here at Wellspring, the reason we teach it, the reason we talk about it, is because baptism is commanded by God. It's really that simple. Baptism is commanded by God. Jesus said, baptize people. The early church baptized people. And so, honestly, the rest of the message is just explanation. God said to do it. And so we do it. Matthew 28, verses are going to be up on the screen. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. This is the last thing Jesus said to his disciples. The last thing he said before he went back up to heaven. Here's what he said. He said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, listen to this. All right? In case you wondered, I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. All authority. It's all up to me. It's a pretty strong statement to make. It kind of prepares you for what's next, right? It kind of says, you should listen to what's next. It matters because I'm God. You watched me die and come back to life 3 days later, and I still feel the need to qualify my credentials to you with the next statement I'm about to make. And here's what he says. Because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. Go and spread the word. Go and tell everybody about me. And by the way, baptize them. Baptize them. This is called, if you maybe you never heard it, the church, we call this the Great Commission. Because we believe this is Jesus' instruction to us. This is why Wellspring exists. It's to fulfill this Great Commission. It's to go and make disciples. It's to go and see people that are far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. It's why I moved here. It's why Eric moved here. It's why TJ moved here. It's because we believe God wants to do this here in Myrtle Beach. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear that one of the ways you do that is by baptizing people, baptizing those that come to faith in Jesus Christ. He commanded it. We see it all over the early church. Acts 2 actually shows that over 3,000 people were baptized in one day. They accepted Christ. They were baptized. So, like I said, we baptize because Jesus said so. That's pretty simple. But how many of us are glad today that God is not a because I said so God? All right? I parent that way, but God doesn't. God actually tells us why. All right? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to drink some water. Why is this so important? Why would he make such a big deal about it? Why would he say, last thing, go make disciples and, by the way, baptize them? Why? Here's why. It's the next point. It's because I believe and the Bible teaches that baptism is a consecrated event. That's a big word right there. Consecrated. It means to declare or set apart as sacred. Baptism is a sacred event. Not so much because of the event itself, but because of what baptism symbolizes. All right? The New Testament teaches that when we begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, all right? And I know there are some folks in the room today that have not done that yet. So glad you're here. This is the place for you. What we're kind of talking about today is some stuff you'll do once you give your life to Christ. Notice I say once you do, because I have no doubt that if you hang out here and open yourself up, God's going to radically transform your life like he has with so many people here. So once you do that, the Bible says that you become a new person. All right, Acts says it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. This is a big deal for Christ followers. This is a big deal. It's how we are able to make some of the changes we make in our life. All right, that change is what our friends notice and they say, dude, something's different about you. I want to know what it is. All right, that is a basic fundamental part of becoming a Christ follower. Now, the reason that baptism is such a sacred picture is because baptism symbolizes that change. Colossians 2:12. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. See, baptism is a picture. It's a symbol of what has happened inside, what has happened in our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when we baptize you, when we take you under the water, that's a symbol, that's a picture that your old self, the self that lived completely for you, that fed the desires like we talked about in the last series in High Fidelity, that self that couldn't hear from God because you didn't have a clear connection. Baptism is a picture of saying that self is gone. And when we bring you back up out of the water, that's a picture of saying, and the new life is here. Old is gone, new is gone. Come. So when we baptize you, when we hold you under the water, and if you've been really bad, we hold you under a little longer. Take a washcloth and kind of wash you off a little bit. That's a joke, by the way. That's a joke. I'm learning I have to be clearer about my jokes. That's a joke. That's the picture. Old self gone, new self, come back up. And you may say, okay, Trey, it's a picture. I get that. But nothing really happened. Nothing really changed. You're not trying to say that if I'm not baptized, I'm not going to go to heaven, are you? Not at all. You're not trying to say baptism is essential for salvation, are you? No, not at all. What I'm trying to say is baptism is a symbol. And number one, it's important because Jesus commanded it. Remember that? He said to do it. But number two, symbols are important to us, guys. Symbols are important. You have symbols in your life right now. Symbols declare to the world what we think is important, what we find valuable. You know, a lot of people describe baptism like this wedding ring. Maybe you've heard it described that way before. that I mean, I'm still married even if I take the ring off. But by putting the ring on, it's a symbol to the world that something's changed. And that's not a bad metaphor. That's not a bad one. But there's one I like a little better. And I think baptism, I think the picture of baptism that really helps me understand, and I hope you too, I think baptism's a lot like a graduation ceremony. All right? Most people, unless you're my five-year-old who's going to graduate like 30 times before he gets out of school, most people have like two major graduations in their life, right? High school, and then if you went to college, you graduate from college. Now, we've all been to a graduation. Maybe you've graduated, maybe you haven't. But the graduation is a deal where, you know, you're going to put on this silly little costume, wear the silly little hat that you'd never wear anywhere else. You're going to walk across the stage, shake hands with somebody. They're going to hand you a piece of paper, and you're going to invite all your friends, all your family, and they're going to come, and they're going to be so excited, and they're probably going to cry, and they're going to take pictures. Then they're going to go home, and they're going to frame those pictures. And you're even going to take that piece of paper that they gave you, and you might frame it. You might even put it in your office to impress people that you have a piece of paper with a guy's signature on it. Now, let me ask you one question, though. What actually happened at that graduation ceremony? What actually changed? Let me help you. Nothing. Yeah, you moved your tassel from this side to this side, but that meant nothing. You did not have to go to that graduation ceremony. They could have just as easily mailed you that piece of paper. And that piece of paper you have that you have framed, let's be honest with you, it actually has no value at all. I have never once had anyone ask me to see my diploma. Ever. I don't even know where they are. That's not a joke. I really don't. No one's ever asked me to see that piece of paper. No one's ever asked me to see proof of the pictures that I actually walked across the aisle and shook hands with Dr. Palms in the Carolina Coliseum. No one's ever once asked for it. So why did I do it? Why did we go through that? We did it to show other people what we thought was important. We did it so that our friends and family that had supported us through it could actually come and celebrate with us the milestone that that event was commemorating. But when it comes to the real thing, if somebody actually needs to know if I graduated from college, they don't want to see that piece of paper. They want to see my grades, right? I have to call the registrar's office and get my transcript sent over. So it really meant nothing. I kind of feel the same way about weddings, but I got really in big trouble last time I talked about that. So I won't go there. But even though it had no actual value, nothing actually changed, right? If you've gone through graduation, if you have children who have gone through graduation, what y'all graduated from five-year-old kindergarten, and I cried like a baby, all right? Because it was special. It was a moment. It was a symbol of a change in their life. If you had a graduation, you invited people to it, it was your way of publicly declaring, this has happened. I have accomplished something. Something has changed, and I want you to know about it. That's baptism. Baptism is our way of announcing to the world, something has changed, and I want you to know about it. See, the reason we think baptism is so important is because when you publicly declare to the world what's changed, your friends and family are going to notice, which is the next point. We believe baptism is contagious. We believe it is contagious. It is your chance to invite your friends and your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, who you may not exactly know how to present the gospel fully. You may be a little weirded out about exactly how to invite them to church. You may not know all the right things to say, but you can say, I'm getting baptized, and I'd love for you to come and see what's going to happen. And then when they're there, it's off you. Now it's on the Holy Spirit. It's on God. It's on those of us who are there to hope we can draw them in. Baptism is your chance to publicly declare to the world what's happened in your heart. It's not you saying, I'm going to be perfect from this point forward. It's you saying, I'm going to be different. It's you saying, something's happened in me, and I'm so excited about it, I don't know what to do. And God, in his infinite wisdom, has given me a platform. I'm never going to be on that stage and preach. I'm never going to sing like TJ. But God has given me a platform to express my life change through baptism. Because I have the ability to impact people Trey and TJ never will. And so in my moment, I'm going to invite my friends and my family, who may not get it all, to come and see that picture. To see what has happened in my life. To watch me be baptized. And not only do we believe that's contagious, we know it is. We've watched it happen. We've watched people come just to see their friend. And when you know it, the next Sunday, here they are. Because something happened. They don't know what. But they're interested. They're in. That's why we think baptism is so important. Jesus commanded it. It's a consecrated event that's set apart because of what it symbolizes. And it's contagious. When you publicly declare what God's done in your life, other people notice. They do. Now, the fourth point, we kind of have to shift gears a bit. Because I've been telling you a lot about the why. The last thing I want to do is I want to tell you how. Because that's one of the questions we get all the time. How do you baptize? If somebody asks me how you baptize, I know they've been in church before. Right? It's like, you were raised in church. Gotcha. I can spot you a mile away. There's like five questions. If you ask one of those five questions, I know. I can almost tell what denomination you were brought up in. But I don't want to freak y'all out, so I won't go there. But here's the deal. Not only why, we do it because it was commanded, because it's consecrated, because it's contagious. But how do we do it? How do we at Wellspring? How do we baptize? Our answer is we do it in a manner that is consistent with God's word. We want to be consistent with what we see in the New Testament, which means at Wellspring, I'm going to give you another big word, we practice believers' baptism by immersion. All right, and again, unless you were raised in church, you have no idea what any of that means. All right, but I'm about to explain it to you. We practice believers' baptism by immersion. What that means, real simple, we baptize people who have decided to follow Jesus, and it means we dunk them all the way under. You know, we don't sprinkle their head. We don't take a super soaker, though that would be awesome. We don't do that. We dunk them. And we believe that this is consistent with what we see in the New Testament. So that's why we do it that way. Every single account of someone being baptized in the New Testament, every single account, they're being baptized as a result of a decision they made themselves to follow Jesus. And then baptism is an act of obedience done in response to the change in their heart. Now, hot button in the room, hot topic. I was baptized as a baby. What about me? I was baptized as a baby. I know some of you were baptized as a baby. Lots of churches baptize as babies. All right? Here's how we view that at Wellspring. All right? We believe if you were baptized as a baby, like I was baptized as a baby, that it was simply a picture of your family saying what we said last Sunday on this stage when we had baby dedication. All right, we did this last Sunday. I didn't baptize them, but they were up here. And we had parents come up here and basically say before God and the church, we asked God to help us raise this child, to point them towards him so that one day they'll choose to follow him. That's what we did last week, okay? That's what I think you can do with a baby. A baby can't make the decision to follow Christ. A baby can't make the decision to give their life to him. It's a baby. Now, I don't want you to just take my word for it. So, what I want to do, we've been going to the Bible here, all right? I want to read to you exactly what the Bible says about infant baptism, okay? About baby baptism. Here we go. Yeah, nothing. It's not there. I'm sorry. It's not there. There is not one account. There's not even one thing that can come close to being an account. The closest they get is they talk about so-and-so's household being baptized. That makes a humongous leap to assume that household even had babies. There's a lot of households represented here that ain't got no babies. There is not one account, not one verse, not one part of a verse. Shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. There's not even two words about infant baptism. It's just not there because it was a foreign concept to those people. They would have never in a billion years thought, yeah, this act of obedience that we're doing publicly, we should let babies do that. They would have never, it would have never occurred to them. Now, it's an emotional subject. I know it is. That was kind of a mean thing I did there. I'm sorry, but it was supposed to be funny. But I need you to see that if you come from a tradition that has made infant baptism something that they think is valid and real, you need to know that's because their tradition has decided that it's valid and real. It's not based on scripture. It's based on tradition. Like a lot of denominations are, quite frankly, which is why Wellspring really isn't denominational. We decided, you know what? We want to be about what God says in the Bible and not worry so much about all the stuff we've added over the last 2,000 years. Unfortunately, infant baptism is one of those. So now you have to ask the question, well, if I was baptized as a baby, do I have to be rebaptized? Yeah. We believe so. We believe if you want to be obedient, if you want to take part in this consecrated symbol that shows the world what's happened in your life, we say yes. I was rebaptized. Again, it wasn't, I've never seen the big deal about it anyway. It was just what you did. But yes, but not only if you were baptized as an infant. Some of you grew up in a tradition where you were confirmed at 12 years old. Now, I know many people who actually began a relationship with Christ at 12 and then were baptized. Fantastic. I know others that went through confirmation because their parents made them. And it wasn't until college, it wasn't until recently here at Wellspring or wherever, where you actually began a relationship with Jesus Christ. To you as well, I would say, yes, I believe you should be rebaptized. Because baptism is a step we take. It's an act of obedience that we take after our hearts have been changed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter when it was. If it was before Jesus, I would encourage you to do it again. I think the Bible would say you should. I think the Bible would say, yeah, your baptism is in response to life change, not before life change. So that's why we practice believer's baptism. Every person you see baptized at Wellspring has told us and has explained and walked through the fact that they have given their lives to Jesus and he is radically transforming their life. So, last thing, I told you about believer's baptism. Now I want to explain real quickly about immersion, why we dunk. It's very simple. The I'm going to bore you with some Greek here. The Greek word of the New Testament used for baptism is baptizo. And unfortunately, what we did is we transliterated that word to baptism when we should have actually just translated it, because translated, it means dunk, to submerge, to dip under. There's even a component of like washing and cleaning. It doesn't mean sprinkle. It doesn't mean that. It means to dunk. Again, every account in the New Testament we see, the people were dunked. Jesus was dunked. You can't come up out of water unless you were in water. And also, when you think about the picture of baptism, death, burial, and resurrection, it just makes sense, right? You dunk them, boom, under, and back up. So that's why we do it. That's why we believe baptism by immersion. It's real simple. Real simple. So, here's the deal with baptism. What's the big deal? Jesus commanded it. That's a big deal. He commanded it because it is a symbol of the radical change that's happened in our heart. He commanded it because he wants us to use that symbol to publicly proclaim to the world, this is what happened. He commanded it because it's our platform to scream from the rooftops to our friends and family, neighbors and coworkers, this is what's going on in my life. And I want you to understand it. I want you to be a part of it. He's changed my life and I want him to change yours as well. It's incredibly simple. So here's what we're going to do today. I know that there are some, if not many of you in this room, that have been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. You've been trying to figure out, I don't know. I'm encouraging you today, take the step of obedience and decide today to be baptized. You have cards in your chair. We're going to be baptizing 3 more times at least this summer. We do beach baptisms. They're fantastic. We've already had one. I'm going to show you a video in just a minute. We have 3 more opportunities over the rest of the summer. You will not be out of town all 3 weekends. You live at the beach. Where are you going? So what I encourage you to do now is just believe me. Just trust me. Just trust God when he says, this is something I want you to do. This is something you should do. This is your opportunity to declare to the world what's happened. So right now, take out those cards, complete them, check the date that you want to sign up, and let's get you baptized this summer. Really. And if you still have questions, talk to Eric. Because really, it really is pretty simple. Seriously, if you have questions, let us know. We'd love to talk to you. We really would. We want to help you in this process. We want to empower you to have the opportunity to share with your friends and family what's going. Because you know more people than I do. If I had come here and said, Wellspring is going to be all about the people that Trey Kelly can reach, we'd have about 12 people here. All right? Because I'm kind of socially awkward. It wouldn't have gone well at all. But no, God uses us. God uses you. God uses the people you know. Seriously, if you're here because I invited you to the church, raise your hand. I love it. TJ better raise his hand, but that's about it. Yeah, Beth and TJ, there you go. That's it. That's the list. No, that's not, I mean, I invite people, but that's not what I mean. But it's you guys. It's your platform. It's God moving through you. And baptism is your chance. So sign up. Today, we have, like I said, we have 3 opportunities this summer. No better time than right now to take this step